Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman again with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you to this second lesson on the assurance of salvation, the letter A that we're studying. And I won't try to waste any of your time gabbing, and too much gabbing, because we're going to try to keep this right around 30 minutes if we can. But I do welcome you, and I praise the Lord that you are personally taking an interest in God's Word, and that you mean business with studying God's Word that's pleasing to the Lord. The Bible says that those that honor the Lord, He will honor in return. Now, I want to talk to you today. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would. And remember, it's a good idea to have your Bible available, because if we're not learning the Scriptures, then we might as well not even talk. We got nothing to talk about if we're not learning the Scriptures. We need to learn doctrine. We need to learn what saith the Lord. What does God's Word say? Not what we think it says, not what some riddles or some traditions of men say it says. What does the Bible actually say about things? And that's what we want to study. And we're studying salvation, the assurance of salvation. But particularly today, I want to start off this study of the assurance of salvation with explaining truth concerning salvation in the Scriptures, because I'd mentioned to you before that whenever the Scriptures say the word salvation and saved and you being born again and talking about salvation, it could be talking about a past or a present or a future part of your salvation. Now, hopefully on our last recording, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are born again. And by the way, have you been baptized yet? Well, you keep that in mind. That's a step of obedience to your Lord, and the Lord has instructed you to do that, so you need to do it. And have you been in your Bible? You need to be in your Bible. It's all about the book. It's all about God's Word. We have our identity in the Word of God. We are who we are by the Word of God. The Bible says, now you are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Now take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 and just hold your place there. That's the scripture we're going to be talking about concerning your salvation and the assurance of salvation. Now last week, we just to recap a little bit, we talked about the assurance of salvation after we talked about how the Bible says to be born again, which is simply, very simply, the simplicity of Christ by believing on Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. And He ascended 40 days later, went back to the Heavenly Father, and is seated at His right hand, awaiting for the Father to say, okay, go get your bride. And the rapture will happen, and we'll be out of here, and then the tribulation will start. And afterwards, the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back with us, along with Him, accompanying Him, and He comes back to make war with the Antichrist, and He cleans this place up, and we have a millennium and get to spend 1,000 years ruling and reigning with the Lord. Now, that's real stuff. That's what the Bible says. And these are things that you should know, because they're comforting and they are truth. This world has fallen into when I was a boy, there was more truth in the air, if you will, if you let me say it that way. There was more truth in the air than there is now. There is more deceit in the world today than when I was a boy. You can walk outside and you don't have to go very far before you find deceit. And the Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. And that's why it's so very important today in these times that you know the Word of God and what the Word of God says, because that's what you need to know. Now, you've turned your Bible over to the scriptures there. Now, let me make just on a side note in parentheses here. Let's just time out for a second. I want to tell you something. Listen, I was listening to them last two recordings, and I found some places I made some mistakes on some words I said and some scriptures that I didn't exactly get right. Take it easy on me, all right? I'm not going to go back and redo the whole tape because of that, because it's going to happen again. Just have a little mercy on me. Just fill in the blanks, if you will, okay? And if there's any mistakes on my part, it's not intentional, okay? It's because my brain is old, all right? And you don't be so hard on me, and I won't be so hard on you. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says this, look at it, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1:10. Now, what's he talking about there? It sounds like it's kind of confusing when you read it at first, because it says who delivered, past tense, us from so great a death and doth, present tense, deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us in the future. So wait a minute. When it comes to salvation, talking about delivering me, delivered is mentioned three times in that verse. It says delivered, deliver, and deliver. Am I delivered or am I not delivered? What is it? I thought if I believed on Jesus Christ that I'm born again. Well, that's true. Well, I thought if I believed on Jesus Christ, I'm saved right now. Well, that's true. Well, I thought if I believed on Jesus Christ that I'm saved for all eternity. That's true. So, see, this is very important, because when the Bible talks about being born again and talks about being saved, particularly the word saved and salvation, if you don't know this truth here, then it's easy to get confused about what the Lord is talking about, and there have been cults and false teachings about whether or not your salvation is eternal and whether or not your salvation is secure and that you can have assurance of salvation. So this is why we're going to talk about this and get this down, and we're going to take our time and understand what this means. And I'm not going to go real deep into it. We're just going to study the scriptures and see what the scripture says. It's very easy to understand if you believe. If you just believe the book, the Holy Ghost will make things very simple for you and help you to understand things. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of God. He can't understand them because he's not been born again. But the Holy Ghost is our teacher, and he does help us understand these things. And you can understand them too, probably better than some of your scholars, so-called scholars and educators and scientists and all these people that claiming to be. The Bible says they claim to be wise, but they became fools. Remember that? So let's not brag on ourselves. Let's brag on the Lord. All right, in the assurance of salvation, we talked about that Satan's going to try to make you doubt your salvation. Remember that? And he's going to say, because you don't feel saved, that you must not be saved. Well, remember the verse that we read in John 8:44 and what it said? Remember what our Lord Jesus Christ said about Satan? He said, because there is no truth in him. Very important verse. That's something that you need to get into your mind and get into your heart and understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has said that about our enemy, and that we can count that as true. There is no truth in him. And in the same verse, remember what it said? It said, for he is a what? He's a what? He's a liar. He's a liar. So what he's going to do is lie to you, because you've been born again and you're one of God's youngins, and he knows he can't get you now, and he's going to lie to you. And he's going to do it any way that he can to try to make you doubt your salvation and try to take that book away from you. He's going to try to take God's word away from you. That's nothing to be scared of or frightened of or anything like that. Just expect it. That's the secret. Just expect it. Know that it's coming. Okay, but the Lord promised us that we're going to have the victory, and we do have the victory. But in the battle that we're going to have to fight now, because we're born again and we're children of God, and the devil hates you because of who you are. He already knows about your sinful nature, and he knows what you do, what you're capable of, and knows your flesh and everything. What he hates you for is because who you're affiliated with, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you now you're in God's family, and he hates you. And he's going to do all he can to destroy you and make you unproductive for the Lord until you go to be with the Lord. So we talked about that. And he's going to tell you that Christians don't sin, and because you sin, then you must not be a Christian. And we're going to go over that stuff and those truths in these studies. And that's why it's so important for you to just hang in here and study with us and find these things out. Okay, enough of that. Now, the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Okay, so we can count on God's words. And when it comes to salvation, the word salvation in the scriptures, and this verse that we're talking about, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Now, what's that talking about? Three different salvations? No, it's talking about one salvation. There's only one salvation. There's and it is divided into a trinity. Anything you learn about God, or anything that is the truth that you can define as truth, is going to come in three parts. And your salvation is like the Lord. The Lord is one God, right? He's Jehovah. He's the creator. He's the God of the Bible. Okay, but he is in the person of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. One in three, three in one, and the one in the middle died for me. Okay? Now, your salvation is kind of like that also. It resembles the Trinity. Your salvation, who delivered us from so great a death, that's the first tense of salvation, which was from the penalty of sin. God saved you from hell and from the penalty of sin. Remember what the Word of God says, for the wages of sin is death, the penalty of sin. Okay, and then it says, and doth deliver us. That's the second tense of salvation, which is you being saved from the power of sin. You see, just because we have been born again does not mean that sin does not affect us, because we still live in a wicked world. We still have a wicked enemy, the devil, and we also are carrying around this zombieized, if that's a word, is dead flesh on us that's going back to the grave, and it's not saved. Your body's not saved. It's going back to the dirt. And then when the Lord, unless the Lord comes and changes us before we die, but we're headed to the dirt, or at least your body is, and it's going back to the grave. So you have to be saved from the power of sin daily. So see, the first tense of salvation is past tense. In other words, God has saved you and secured you because of your believing in Jesus Christ, his Son, and you have been saved from the penalty of sin. You'd never have to worry about dying and going to hell, or God's condemnation being on you, or the wrath of God abiding on you anymore. That's past tense. It's over. It's done. Then the second tense of salvation is being saved from the power of sin. Now, the power of sin is the everyday sin that we live, the law that's working in our members. That Jesus said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much will your heavenly Father give them? Okay, so Jesus called those men, right? He said, if you being evil, Jesus, and then another place the Bible says that Jesus, knowing what was in man. So you see, just because we've been born again, that has not alleviated, that's not taken away the sin and the evil that's in us. It has added to us. In other words, God the Holy Ghost came to dwell in us, and He's in us, and He has quickened our spirit, and we're alive unto God, and He circumcised our spirit from our wicked body, and we've been circumcised by the circumcision not made with hands, the Bible says, by the Holy Ghost, and your body's going to go back to the dirt, but your soul is saved now, and it has been circumcised from your body. Okay, so you're saved from the power of sin. And then it says, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. What? Okay, well, that's the third tense of salvation. Now, these are not three different episodes. This has already happened. This has already happened. This is all three in one, one in three. Every bit of it is salvation. Every bit of it has been bought and paid for, but some of it is in the past, some of it is in the present, and some of it is in the future. The third tense of salvation is us being saved from the presence of sin. The first is saved from the penalty of sin. The second is being saved from the power of sin. And the third tense of salvation is being saved from the presence of sin. Now that is where the Lord Jesus Christ comes and what is known as the rapture. A rapture, the word rapture is not in our Bible. It's called the catching away, being caught up. But rapture is what Christians have used for that, and nothing wrong with that. It's probably the best word that describes it. When the Lord comes and show you a mystery, we shall not all sleep, but we shall be caught up together in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible says. When the Lord comes and completely removes us from the very presence of sin, we won't be around sin or in an environment, or sin will not be in us anymore. We won't be evil anymore. We will be removed from this world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Remember, the Bible says, our flesh, the sin will be removed from, presence of sin will be removed from our flesh. Our body will be changed. We will be given a body likened unto Jesus' glorious body. And we won't be in the presence of sin anymore. So you see, all of this is salvation. Are you getting this? It's easy, isn't it? All of this is salvation. And all of it has been paid for since you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said when, excuse me, Jesus said whenever he, just before he gave up the ghost on the cross, what was the last thing one of the last things that he said, remember? He said, "It is finished." In other words, when we think about what we're talking about right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, we need to remember that verse. It is finished. Every bit of this is finished. But some of it has not come to pass. Now, when it comes to the things of God, you can't think in a human the Bible says that which is of the flesh is flesh and that which is of the spirit is spirit. We have to think about these things in the spirit because a natural man, our human part of us can't understand these things because they're not of God. Because we can't make these things happen as human beings, but God can do anything. You see, you say, well, how can God have already come to pass and be part of my salvation when I'm still in the presence of sin? Only God can do that. How can God deliver me from the power of sin right now? Well, you'll find that out and you'll be a witness for that because you'll see the Lord working in your life and doing that very thing. And then, the penalty of sin. So you see, now, we're going to take one of these at a time individually, and we'll start out with the very first one there. So you probably got a good outline now of the three tenses of salvation, okay, and that they are all one. It's all your salvation, but it is in three different aspects, if you will, or ways of looking, or what's important about this is that when you're in the Scriptures, and I'm going to show you this, but when you're in the Scriptures and you're reading and you come across the word salvation, you have to determine which one of these tenses of salvation the Scripture is talking about. Is it talking about me being saved from the penalty of sin? Or is it talking about me being saved from the power of sin presently in my life? Or is it talking about when Jesus comes to get me and take me completely out of the presence of sin? Because you can see, if you're reading in the Scriptures and you read, now is our salvation closer than it ever was, there's a Scripture, and I butchered that one up, but there's a Scripture that says that. That's not talking about the penalty of sin being closer than it ever was and saved. That's talking about all three of them, actually, because our salvation is closer because God has already paid the penalty for your sin, and your sin has been paid for, okay? And it's talking about the power of the power of sin. Now is our salvation closer? You're talking about the power of sin because every day that passes, we're getting closer to being with the Lord. And then it's talking about the presence of sin because, like we said, every day that passes in time, we live in time, God lives in eternity. It says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. But there are better verses than that that we'll get into. We're pretty well into this lesson here, but we've made a good start on this. And but all three of these, when you're reading in the Scriptures, what's important about this lesson that we're talking about right now concerning the assurance of salvation is because when you get in the Scriptures and you start reading and you run across the word salvation, the enemy is going to try to confuse you if you don't know this truth. He might say, well, see there, you know, God says that your salvation, we have to look at the Scriptures for me to describe it. So with the time that we have left, let's go ahead and let's start out with the first tense of salvation. The first tense of salvation is being saved from the penalty of sin. In other words, part of your salvation when the Bible talks about salvation is that you have been saved from the penalty of sin. Now, what is the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is the death of the body. Remember when the death of the soul and the death of the spirit. The Lord said to Adam, he said, in the day ye eat thereof, ye shall die. Now, when he ate that apple, he didn't die. He didn't fall over dead like Ananias and Sapphira did, but his spirit did. His spirit died then. He died, and his ability to be able to communicate with God, other than the Lord being in the garden with him, he died, but his soul didn't die. His soul didn't die. Okay, so you see, the Lord said that he's going to return to the dust. And Adam died 900 and something years, and his body went back to the dust. He died. What God said became true. That was the penalty of sin. But also, the penalty of sin was that now the soul of man couldn't be with the Lord, and the Lord has to put people down in where Abraham's bosom was, but across from there was hell. And the death of the soul was in hell, okay? And that's the penalty of sin, the Bible. And then the second death, the Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Remember that? Okay, so what is the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin, for the wages of sin is death. Is death. I mean, if you want to sum it up, it's death. It's death of the body, death of the soul, and death of the spirit. The reason that we call it born again is because when God the Holy Ghost saves you and moves within your body, comes to live in your body, he quickens your spirit. He makes it alive. That's what quicken means, is to make alive. So the Lord comes in and He quickens your spirit and makes your spirit alive unto the things of God. And now you can have communion with God. In the Garden of Eden, and being eternal separation from God. The Bible says, the first tense of salvation, saved from the penalty of sin. And what is the penalty of sin? Well, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh the atonement for the soul. All right. And the penalty of the sin, according to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, the Bible said, behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is what the penalty of sin is. And Adam sinned, and behold, sin fell upon all men because all have sinned. You say, well, how come I'm suffering because Adam sinned? You're not. You're suffering because you are penalized because you sinned, and you chose to sin against a holy God. Okay, but sin fell upon all men because of one man, yes. But you are guilty because you are guilty. Okay? The Bible says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What is the penalty of sin? The penalty of sin is the death of the body, the death of the soul, and the death of the spirit. And you lose everything by sin. So where does that leave us in this world? This world's not teaching exactly that kind of stuff, is it? It's teaching that you're somebody and that you can make it on your own and you can do all these things on your own. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, it says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished. There's your penalty of sin. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. What is the penalty of sin? It's being punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. So death of the body, you go back to the dust. Your body dies, and your body, you ought to be testifying to that. You have a problem with that body every day, don't you? Death of the body, your body's dying. It's dying a slow death, but it's dying. Death of the soul, if you're not born again, you're going to hell. And then the lake of fire. And then separated from God for all eternity. And the death of the spirit. During your lifetime, you're never able to communicate with God. You have no means of communicating with God. Your spirit is dead. So, let's recap. We're running out of time. We're not running out of time. We can go as long as we want to. But we're going to break this down. We're not going to take it real, real fast. We're going to try to understand these things. Now, let me give you some scriptures. You got a pencil? What is the penalty of sin? What is the penalty of sin? Okay. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 17. Leviticus chapter 17, 11 through 14. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 15 and 16. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. Luke chapter 12, verse 4 and 5. Luke chapter 16. That's where the rich man and Lazarus are in there, remember? Romans chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 through 9. We just got through reading. Jude 5 through 9. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 through 15. And one more. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. Okay, now, those are the scriptures of the thing that we talked about today. Now, what have we talked about today? We've talked about your salvation being in three tenses. And why are we talking about this? We're talking about this because it's important for you when you're reading the scriptures that you know what part of your salvation the scriptures are talking about. It doesn't mean that you do not possess this salvation. It means that you need to understand what the scriptures are talking about in the context of what the scriptures are talking about. And when it says salvation, what part of salvation is it talking about? The first tense, the second tense, or the third tense? Is it talking about the penalty of sin, the power of sin, or the presence of sin? And these are very important for us to understand when we're reading our Bibles. Now, those first scriptures that I just give to you, they are only for the first tense of salvation, where we have begun studying that, and it's under the penalty of sin, the first tense of salvation, and we are saved from the penalty of sin. And what is the penalty of sin? Those scriptures that I give to you, you can entitle under that. What is the penalty of sin? And then on our next tape, we're going to continue on the first tense of salvation. We're going to talk about, when am I saved from the penalty of sin? How am I saved from the penalty of sin? And who has control over the penalty of sin? And then we'll move along as time permits, and we'll talk about being saved from the power of sin. And then we'll talk down through there in that category, and then we'll talk about the presence of sin. And we're going to go over these, and we're going to look at the scriptures so that you see that when you're reading in the scriptures, that when you see the word salvation, you'll know exactly what it's talking about. Okay? All right. Well, we've done good today. Praise the Lord, and thank you so much for listening to this. I appreciate you caring about God's Word, and so does the Lord. And I thank you for being patient with me. And then I hope that you go over those scriptures and you read them now, because it's very important. We don't have anything if we don't have the Word of God. We need to know doctrine. We need to know what does God's Word say. So you read those verses. You don't have to be smart to read. Just read. And the Holy Ghost will make it clear to you. Read those scriptures so the next time that we get together, then you'll have them in your mind already, and you'll be able to go ahead and understand, okay? The Lord be with you. And this is Brother Thurman, and this is the ABCs of Christian Growth. And this is the assurance of salvation. The Lord bless you. Bye-bye.